It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
That's right. The U.S. Nationals in the rearview mirror. Joe Costello here with you. And we're going to be breaking down the wins and the race winners and having a good time throughout the week and next week and the week after as we get ready for the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. Hopefully everybody is doing real well out there. I want to say what's up. And if you are a fan of Pro Stock, you're definitely going to want to share the show. If you're a fan of Nitro Funny Cars, you're definitely going to want to share the show. We got Fast Jack Beckman, of course, the Infinite Hero, Don Schumacher Racing. Really cool stuff going on. We'll hear from Fast Jack. And also, we're going to hear from Erica Enders. Erica, two-time Indy champ. What's cool is that they won together last time out. That's bizarre, right? 2015, that they were able to go out there and get the win. And Erica and Fast Jack are going to be joining us in a little bit. Jack at the bottom of the hour or so. Erica in a few minutes as we have started right here at the top of the hour. Before we get going into it, though, I want to tell you about the sponsors who make it all possible for me to sit in the WFO Radio studios and make this stuff happen. And I'm talking about people like Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. It's down there in Houston, Texas area. Brian Massengill, they had the booth set up out there at Indy. It was great seeing potential students come by and talk about their future as a machinist, as an engine builder, as a crew chief, or otherwise. You don't have to even be into racing necessarily. You just want to have a good career. Samtech.edu, check them out. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Yeah, it was a Total Seal versus Erica final round. Erica coming out on top. And they have actually battled in eliminations a few times, talking about Matt Hartford. But when it comes to piston rings, Total Seal, they are the choice. Go to TotalSeal.com to find out more information. You can check out the Hidden Horsepower podcast. Got a new episode getting ready to drop. Tell your friends. And it's just amazing to learn about ring seal, how important it is. We got a new episode going to be coming out real soon talking about Bonneville and what it took to become the fastest piston-powered machine on the planet. Very, very cool. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Do you want to become a champion race car driver? Yes, well, then Frank Hawley is the place to go. Do you just want to have a good time and hang out and drive cars with Frank and race your friends and beat them? Then Frank Hawley's the place to go. Go to frankhawley.com. Check out the Dragster Adventure. Find out more. And we've got a good list of people who have become champions on this show. I think both of our guests today have been connected to Frank Hawley, and they have gone on to multiple championships and great success. And finally, Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, speaking of Fort Worth, Texas area. Marvin's down there. He sells outdoor kitchens and barbecues and grills. He's got a shop, spice rubs, does auto restoration, roasts coffee. It's all amazing. Check out Marvin Rodak at RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Finally, I'm mailing out face coverings left and right. That's great. Go to WFOradio.com, the WFO store, and get yourself a face covering for $10. I'll throw in some stickers. There's just a link. You click it, it's $10, and then I mail it out super easy. And people have been really happy with the WFO Radio face coverings, and it's been really cool. All right, let's get into it. It's time to speak with our 66th annual Denso Spark Plugs U.S. Nationals Pro Stock winner, Erica Enders. Erica, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Joe?
I'm great. So you did it. You won it again. And she gets a text just as we're talking. Now, you're going to get texts. Your phone is going to be blowing up for the next 2 or 3 months after winning any Indy again. I'm proud because I sensed it. Like, I knew it was going to happen. That's why we had you on a couple weeks ago, because it was the sound of inevitability. You could hear it. And sure enough, you went out there and got the job done. Does it feel like redemption after this big win?
I was just glad to seal the deal, Joe. Last year's final round against Alex was obviously heartbreaking by the look on my face. But, you know, it's so hard to get to a final round, and then to execute and get the win is obviously the most important thing. And this year it played out a little differently than last year, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes, you got the job done and won the race. And you got to even take a photo. We've got some photos, obviously. Courtney sent in some photos that we've got from the day. And thinking about Alex, he experienced the heartbreak on this given Indy. So heartbreak, it moves around. He's pre-stage. And I guess at the time he told me his fuel pump quit. He didn't even get to stage his car. Ugh, that's got to be frustrating. And the racing gods, they are fickle. They're tough.
They are sometimes. And heartbreak's the worst feeling in the world. And you could see it on Alex's face there, you know, first round at the U.S. Nationals. It's just like, it's gut-wrenching, man. It's, you work so hard to get there, and then you're finally in that moment, and when it doesn't go the way that you thought it would, it is, it rips your heart in two, for sure.
But experiencing that heartbreak, it's like, you know, to compare it to love and relationships and all that, but the highs are very high and the lows are very low. So last year, you experienced a cruel low. It was in your hands. But this year, you get to come back and win it. And, you know, that's why you're here to do that, to experience those feelings. Adrenaline, of course, to race and win, but to experience those feelings. And from one year to the next, I don't think there could have been a bigger gap.
Yeah, for sure. And there are lots of really cruel lows. You just have to have enough guts and enough perseverance to stick around, because the pendulum will always swing in the other direction. And I say this quote all the time, but there are way more valleys than there are peaks, but the peaks are what get you through those hard times. And if you can work together and focus on the good, I think anything can be overcome and anything is really possible. So I have the best guys in the entire world. And it was just so exciting after, especially after last year. And then of course the year of the Dodge and the challenging years that we went through, to have these moments of success, it means a lot to us.
Chase is ready to run into the office and shut off the lights is what he's about to do. And I love this, that we can have people, you know, typically for years, WFO has been a podcast, audio only, and still is for people that are driving around. But the fact that we can see you and how happy you are and share some photos and get, you know, you were watching yesterday, the Emmons brothers, which was so cool. They go out and they win stock and super stock, and they've got the pro stock winner and world champ, like giving them big up on the chat section. Like, to me, that is just so cool. But today is your day. Three-time champ, two-time Indy winner. Jack Beckman coming on at the bottom of the hour. What's cool is that you guys won it the last time together.
Yeah, we did. And to touch back on what you said first, you know, watching a little bit of Langdon finishing up, and then I wanted to make sure that I tuned in for the Emmons guys. I've known them my entire life, and what a great racing family, and what they stand for and how hard they work. It was really cool. I asked Richard if we could stay and watch, but it was really cool to see those two brothers, Terry and Jerry, win the final round. It was pretty incredible, and to see the excitement, and then that three Houston people are sharing the winner's circle. So just kids that started off with a big dream and ended up exactly where they wanted to be and where they were meant to be. So yeah, that was cool.
Their emotions too. Like when they're talking about their win, it's very similar to you talking about your win, like the moment, the experience of victory at Indy and what it means to them and all of that. Just awesome. So you had a great day. I've got some cool photos. There you are down there at the top end, and you drove that bitch back. How about that? That was awesome. And you did
something special.
You stopped for everybody and interacted with the fans. I saw you doing that. I was like, wow, look what's going on down there.
Yeah, we had to change it up a little bit for Indy since it's such a big event. And Courtney said, we're going to do this Indy style. So after we went over the scales and went through fuel check, you know, we stopped midway through the grandstands. And a lot of people had left at that point, I guess, to head towards where winner's circle usually is. But there was some fans that were left in the grandstands, and to see their reaction when we fired the car up, I think you can see it on the video that Courtney posted. That's replaced by nothing else. I mean, it's crazy. It's so crazy. And then to drive in front of the grandstands and around the corner, and, you know, our teammate Alan Firestone's in the staging lanes fixing a run. And it's just like, it was an incredible feeling, and kind of like the stories that the boys told yesterday. Like you look at the beacon on the wall and you're like waiting for it to light up. And if it doesn't, you think, well, man, it must be burned out or it's broken because you have such high expectations. But when that light flashes in your face and you realize that you've won the U.S. Nationals, it's a feeling that's replaced by nothing else in the world. And me and Marty Robertson's at our office today, we were just talking about, like, when drag racing's over, what replaces that feeling? Like, does anything? That moment where you're just like, you're on top of the world. Like, I'm sure there are other great moments in life, like, you know, getting married or having a family or succeeding in business or making a lot of money. Like, those are small blips that are amazing. But that one, like, crazy adrenaline feeling of making a dream come true. I don't know what replaces it.
Well, I don't think anything. Things that are equivalent, like maybe winning a gold medal at the Olympics. You've put your whole life into it, and you go out there and you win the gold medal, and after the race. That's the thing that's different about a race as opposed to a game. You've beaten everybody, and you walk away unbeaten, and that's it. It's over. It's done. It's in the history books. Maybe a boxing match, which neither of us is doing that anytime soon. But it is a great thing. I haven't won a
hopefully not.
Right. I've won a bracket racer too, and experienced like leaving the track. Like, hey, I did not feel what it was like to lose tonight. That's cool. Avoiding the pain of defeat and also winning. Great stuff. Let's talk about your round by round, because that first round matchup, Kenny Delko. Man, they were performing so strong. You qualified sixth, and that was a close race, closer than I'm sure you would have wanted it, but you came out on top, and that's all that matters.
It is all that matters, but it doesn't make that feeling any better, really. I went up there. Jeg and I set up very similar. We our driving techniques are similar. He's helped me a lot through my career, but we're within a few thousandths of each other, usually on clutch linkage setups, so going up there, I was kind of already having these like weird thoughts about, oh, the cloud cover, and we're probably going to be leaving 100 higher on leave RPM. So that's something that I always try to like block out and have a positive mental attitude and replace those stupid little negative nagging thoughts with something positive or a great memory of a win. And I just try to always go back to something good instead of that. But that morning, for some reason, I don't know if it's the nerves of Indy or just the meaning of it, but I was pretty nervous. And then seeing my teammate Jeg Coffin go red in the first round, I was just like, oh my gosh, my suspicions are accurate. It's cloudy, the leave is higher, we're gonna be close to red. So Joe, to be honest, there is absolutely no excuse for it, but I rolled up there and I was like, I don't even want to look at the tree. Like, I'm like, I always say, if you have to, you have to get in it, right? And between getting in it and being mad at the tree and seeing it.
And Erica is getting a text right now, a text or a phone call. Someone's like, man, you're really great on that WFO podcast. Really love it. She'll be back in a second. And Carl Franklin, we're going to build up to that, buddy, just so you know. I do interviews in a very certain and specific way, and we're building up to a big thing that happened at the end. So don't worry about it. There she is. She's back. I've learned to just become patient, and eventually the guest will return. Hi, Erica. So you've got red lights in front of you first.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I don't care. What do I care? The audience, they don't care either. We're happy to have you. So you get by Kenny, and I had a couple of conversations.
Okay.
People were like, uh-oh, Erica got through first round. Man, that could have been it when, you know, she gets bounced. Second round against Derek Kramer, back to normal Erica, 0-23. They didn't get down the racetrack, 6-60. That puts you into the semis against Mason McGahey, and that has to be a brutally challenging race when you're going up against someone who is, first of all, a teenager, and the quote is, they don't know what they don't know. They're there for the moment. It's the pressure. Like, what does Mason care? He just beat his dad. That's all that matters, right? Tell me about getting ready for someone who is obviously very dangerous because they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I go back to when I first started racing Super Comp and Super Gas, and that was probably one of the better things for me, is that I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know the giants that were in the lane next to me. I just knew I had to let go of the button and not take too much finish line. So not knowing and not having the experience can be beneficial at times, and other times it will absolutely crush you. So I was sitting in my car, kind of funny side story, but I was up there behind the water box, and we were waiting for I think the safety safari to spray the track one last time, and I'm listening to Reinhardt up in the tower, and he's like, you know, Erica's double his age and blah blah blah.
I heard
and
that
I'm
too,
like, man, this is awful. Like, I heard it in my car, and I was like on the radio with my guys. I'm like, what the crap, why is he talking like this? But I'm not that old. I'm definitely getting older, but he's absolutely accurate. The kid's 18 and I'm 36. So, you know, I feel like he's doing a great job getting the car down the track. So what happened on that round, I feel like I'm full of excuses, but what happened on that round is I flickered the bottom ball, but in my head, I'm like, okay, I flickered it. It's going to trigger a long tree. Just be ready. And I'm ready, right? And then I wasn't ready because I was like 70 something. And he was 001, and I don't know if he just let go, if he, I don't know what happened, but what happened was he drilled my ass on the starting line, and thankfully we had the horsepower. He had something go wrong, and we were able to get that round win. And, you know, just like the guy talking yesterday, I mean, you have to have those lucky rounds and able to reach where you're going. And I'd say that was our lucky round of the day. Kenny Delco was a pretty lucky round too, because they've been running so great. Derek has a freaking fast car right now. And so, you know, we had challenging rounds all the way to the finals.
To last year, to the point of last year, what happened to you was super cruel. And whatever it is, the racing gods or God or whatever it is that says, man, we really got brutal on her last year. Like, she was winning it. It's like, no, you're not. So this year, you get a little luck in the right places here and there to set up for the big final round against Hartford. And you guys, when you race each other, he doesn't hold back. He's what we want. Someone to say and try to get in your head and be straightforward. He's that kind of a racer, and so are you. And to go at it, but you had a little performance advantage, and then you got Evil on the starting line with a 009. And from what I understand, you know, they you pretty much locked him out with your run and his light, and you were onward to victory, and you win your second U.S. Nationals.
Man, it was definitely an awesome feeling, and I'm glad that the final round worked out the way that it did, that it was, you know, the best situation that I had all day. I struggled a little bit before the final round, and I went up to our crew chief lounge where Rick Jones, Mark Ingersoll, and Ricky Jones all sit. And of course, when our other cars were all eliminated, I was the lone elite performance car on Sunday after first round, so we had all hands on deck. But I do want to give Ricky Jones some serious credit, because we sat down and we crunched some numbers on my clutch linkage. And, you know, you kind of have to throw out first round and third round on the Christmas tree, because things happened that did not indicate how I was driving. I was 16-16 the last two hits in qualifying. So I really, really work hard on the math, and Ricky helped me there. The 23, the way my linkage was set up, I felt like I was good, but I knew I didn't crush it. So I can't just say, oh, I was 23, I need to speed it up. Like, you really have to feel and know what you're doing. So going into the final round, I was like, I don't want to be too close to red. Like, my rule is to set up close to 10. And I feel like with the information that my crew chiefs give me on, you know, where they think we're going to leave RPM wise. And then, of course, how tight the track's going to be, where the sun's going to be in the sky. So we take all of these things into account. And Ricky really helped me with that. So we figured the best that I could be was 007, and the worst I was going to be was around 12 to 15, and we were right there in the middle. So I want to thank him for helping me crunch the math, and then, of course, trusting it and making me trust myself. So, and then I had the, like, absolute best pump-up speech from Rick Jones, my crew chief, before the final round. And these guys, they carry me, man. They lift me up when I'm down, and they build my confidence back when I don't have it. So I really want to give him, all three of those guys, Rick, Mark, and Ricky, a bunch of credit, along with Chase, who's like the one man wrecking crew. And I had Dave Hollywood Howard working on my car. That's a name from the past of Pro Stock. He used to drive, and that was an honor to have him on our car working for the U.S. Nationals win as well. So I just wanted to give those guys some credit.
You are, and you should, and you're beloved. We got Jerron Settles out there, the Flying Airbrush, who made runner-up in Super Comp. We got Jerry is out there, who won Stock Eliminator, and we got a great audience right now. So let's look at some photos. You're the winner, of course. Let's see who's got the best vertical leap. I think Wes looking pretty strong right now, but Courtney is like a foot higher in the air than anybody else. Easy to track Courtney when she's out there.
I think so. And those red.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one in the bright red pants, but she definitely has some vertical leaps. She has that from playing sports in high school and in college, but she's my biggest cheerleader, man. I couldn't do a lot of this stuff without her. And she also is my biggest pumper upper, man. She's in my door right before we fire the car, and she makes me believe in myself. And that's something that I've needed help with these last couple of years for some reason. And it's all about the people that you surround yourself with. They make you better, and they make you rise to the top. And that's exactly the group that I have here, and I'm thankful for it.
All right. So after the race, and this is the next layer to this, because it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. You were congratulated on Twitter by the President of the United States of America. You know, the greatest country in the history of countries. We all have such love and passion for our country and drag racing, very patriotic. Everyone knows by now that Eric Trump was at the track, I think it was Friday, and he hung out all day long. Everybody needs to know. Like, he got there early, and I was like, oh, man, they brought him here too early. Because he, by the time Pro Stock rolls out, you know, anybody is exhausted. The guy hung out and stuck around, and did a million selfies with everyone. But then after it's over, he tweets. There was a nice video. He tweets congratulations. He tweeted to Courtney, like, by name, and she probably picked up a million followers. But then this. Congratulations, Erica. Fantastic win. Erica, that's the president of the United States talking about pro stock drag racing. I can't say this for certain, but I think that's the first time that that's ever happened in the history of drag racing. Like, what does that mean to you that they reached into your life and, you know, like, that's, it's hard to compute. It's hard to fathom. Photograph of Erica Enders. How about this? Forget what you think. My friend, somebody that I know, is getting tweeted about by the president of the United States. Lay it out. What does this mean? Tie it all together.
Okay. So, well, I kind of want to start at the beginning of the weekend when, Kimmy Benza, who is Bob Benza's youngest daughter, works directly for the Trump family. And she played a huge role in getting Eric to come out to the track. But I think the coolest part of it was, is Eric just didn't come to the track because he had to. This guy's been a drag racing fan, and I was so surprised at his knowledge of our sport. It turns out he was roommates with a kid that junior drag raced earlier in his life. So he started going to the racetrack, and I might be getting the year wrong, but he told me his first national event was the Gator Nationals, I think, in 1997.
Wow.
So he's been watching for a long time. He even said he's like, I love Angelle. I used to have a crush on her when I was a kid. He's like, it's just awesome. Shirley Muldowney, I've watched Heart Like a Wheel, and Shirley got to meet him this weekend as well. So he was such a great sport, but I really think he honestly enjoyed it, and it was fun to watch. So they arrived Thursday night, and we had a little gathering at the hotel, and we're able to get to know everybody. And then they spent the entire day, like you said, at the racetrack, and we didn't make our first run till like a little bit after 7 o'clock. So he was a great sport. His entire security detail, they were so awesome. And the Benza family, I really have to thank them. But Bo and Randy Lynn have also had a huge initiative in this whole Trump movement deal. And what I want to say is, like, I've gotten a lot of hate mail on the other side of things as well because of our support of the family. But no matter who you vote for, put that aside and look at the light that was shed on not only our class of pro stock, but the entire sport of NHRA drag racing. It is in front of eyes that may have never watched it ever had the Trump family not been out there and been supportive, and had the president not retweeted Eric's Trump. So a huge honor for me. I feel like the only thing better than that would be like being able to win the championship and then get invited to the White House, like with other athletes. But a huge honor. I have so much respect for this country. And, you know, I'm a military kid. Our dad fought in Vietnam, was in the Air Force and Special Forces. So we grew up with a ton of respect, regardless of who leads this great nation, that you respect them and you trust their leadership. And I think that Donald's treating it as a business, and I'm so proud that he mentioned us. I'm thrilled. It's surreal. My phone blew up that night, people taking pictures of Twitter because my Twitter got hacked by like some Kim Jong-un or something. I don't know.
Well,
but so it was definitely interesting, but my phone blew up with a ton of support. But I just wanted to focus on the good, and that's the light that is shed on our class and our sport right now.
Okay, and so on that note, we can go there a little bit. I always avoid politics on the show, but I think that this isn't politics. Like, that's the thing. We have to get to a point. What, did you lose me? You lost me? Oh, we lost Erica. There she is. We got to get to a point where there's some things that we are, like, just, you know, unified and in support of. And drag racing has got to be one of them. And you can hear me. Did you pick me up now? I just had the greatest speech, man. Everyone should be super motivated. Drag racing, no matter what your politics, if you love drag racing, you should be super happy that she's going to jump back in. That Erica and videos of Erica got sent out to millions and millions of people. We just got to convert them as new fans, and that'll be that. There are some things that personal opinion about the politics of a situation can take a back seat. And we can do that on another day. All right. So Erica's going to look at this. Costello enters 2024. Why not enters Costello, Carl Franklin? I will happily be Erica's vice president. Let's see. Respect. Smart lady. Courtney's running in there to help her right now. Well said, Erica. Exactly. And but also on the flip side, you are going to get a lot of hate sometimes. Like there's just a lot of hate out there everywhere and you got to avoid it. That's it. Okay, while we're waiting for Erica to reconnect, I do want to tell everybody, if you want WFO radio stickers for free, I will send you free stickers. You just got to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on the screen, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084, and I'll send you some stickers. Erica, I just gave the most amazing, patriotic, motivating speech, and you're not going to believe it, but I actually united the country. We're now all united and we're all on the same page behind drag racing. And we've even been suggested as the ticket in 2024, Enders Costello 2024. Of course, I'll be happy to be your vice president. You okay with that?
That's fine. I don't think I have any business with that, but I am glad you united the country. That
we're all united now.
That, so.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well,
Way to go.
It's very important to me that we are united. And of course, that drag racing gets a shout out like there. Yeah, look, Jason Logan says it was Patton-esque. People are ready to run through walls based on what I said. Steve says, Erica, my kind of woman, as in Die Hard and ready to go out there and doing it for the love. Let's see. Tony out there. He never discussed politics without attracting some heat. Isn't that the truth? But I think you guys did it in a good way. And whatever, you won Indy. Like, in the end, winning Indy is the subject. Now, getting invited to the White House after another championship. That's interesting motivation. Was that discussed? Was that, like, thrown out there casually? It should have been.
No, it was not discussed, but I figured I'd throw it into the universe. Maybe it'll bounce back somehow.
Yes, exactly. You got to throw that one out there. And mentioning, you know, Eric, when he was talking to Alan Reinhardt on the starting line, he did say he had been to an event before. I'm really glad that you cleared it up, because I was wondering, like, this guy seems to know drag racing, and this is what we need to grow our sport better. All right, you're the points leader by 7 over Jeg, by 11 over Jason. Hartford is now 162 back. I really think, no offense to Matt and Total Seal, I really think it's going to be hard for him to gain 160 points on the three of you. That would be some amazing racing in the next few races. So you got Retirement All-Stars, Jeg and Jason and Erica, and you've got the lead with 5 to go next race, the Gator Nationals. What are you thinking about that?
I'm pretty excited that we're back on top. Obviously, our plan would to never relinquish that that position, but it's going to be a tall order for sure. Jeg and Jason both have very great cars. Greg has a really great car too, but mathematically, I think you're correct in myself, Jeg Coughlin and Jason Line. So, you know, this is an important year. It's been very interesting for a lot of people. And honestly, I think we're all just glad that we're racing right now. But with 5 events left, that's not a whole lot of rounds of racing. So every single round is going to count. And I knew coming into this event that Jeg's 77-point lead over me was going to be pretty hard to close on, considering how well he's been running. But like what happened on Sunday, you just never know what's going to happen. So all you can do is the best that you can. You can just go as prepared as possible. And that's kind of been the key to our success here at Elite Motorsports and Elite Performance. These guys work so incredibly hard here back at the shop. And I feel like our test in Tulsa played a significant role in the success that we had this weekend at the U.S. Nationals. But these guys work their tails off. And to answer your question the long way around, it's going to be cutthroat for the rest of the year. Heading to Gainesville, you know, obviously we run there in March usually, and there have been weekends where it feels like spring break. And there have also been weekends where I scraped ice off my windshield with a credit card. So, you never really knew what you were going to get in March. Now that we're going to race there in the fall, you know, obviously hoping for a little bit of a break from the heat, but it is Florida, and you can probably bet that it'll be sunny and pretty. So I'm hopeful of that. It will definitely pose different track conditions than we're used to racing there in March. So, but everybody's going to be in the same boat as far as acquiring new data for the racing surface. And we'll all just do the best that we can. So excited to head somewhere, have a different landscape than Indianapolis, although we're grateful to the state of Indiana for working with us and allowing us to race when other states wouldn't. So that's pretty significant, pretty important. But to win the last one there at the U.S. Nationals was was substantial, and I'm so proud of my guys. But from there, I assume we head to St. Louis, and then we get two back-to-back races in my home state of Texas and hopefully finish up in Vegas. So again, it'll be down to the wire. I am certain of that. It always is that way in pro stock, but I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million times. My money's on us.
I love it. I love it. Erica, I really appreciate you coming on the show, spending time. Last week or 2 weeks ago, before the race, when we had the premonition that you would win, because it was actually pretty obvious, and now after the race, and so many people logging on to see you, by the way. And what is it about you and Beckman both winning together, right? In 2015, you guys shared the stage. You won together. I see Beckman on there. What is it about that, about you and Beckman? Timing, I guess.
I think it's awesome. I hope that we can maybe win the next five, too.
Let's bring him in.
But what you mentioned leading into the show, I wanted to touch on, hey, Jack, was that he was my instructor at the Frank Holly Drag Racing School in Gainesville, Florida. We were in Pomona, Jack, for my Super Comp license. I went to Gainesville for my Top Alcohol Funny Car license. So Jack was my instructor. We go way back, and I cannot speak more highly of Frank Holly. He is a brilliant man, and I give him a lot of credit.
Wow, that is tremendous. So, Jack, was she a good student? Like, the kind of student you'd said?
Her dad, Greg, always comes up and says, man, you did a great job. I said, let me tell you something. That girl had something before she came to the school. I'm not taking credit for her because I'm not taking blame for the ones that didn't do so good.
There you go. I appreciate that. What about as a teacher, Erica? You just gave him credit, but was he authoritative? Was he curt? Was he mean? Was he nice? What kind of instructor is Jack Beckman?
He was really kind to me. He was so nice. And I guess it's the small fraction of girl I have in me, but like if somebody yells at me, I would rather you punch me in the mouth than yell at me, because I'll just start crying and I cannot control it. I'm as tough as nails, but if you yell at me, it's over. So Jack was so gracious with me, and you know, I remember I had only raced a junior dragster up to that point. My dad gave me the trip to Frank Holly Super Comp School for my 16th birthday. So it was kind of a really cool weekend, and the fact that Jack was my coach was awesome. So thank you, Jack, for being so great.
Hey, thank you for being awesome. People say, who have you taught? Erica Enders, and I dropped the mic.
Right.
Whatever.
That's it. No, the only drag racer to be congratulated by the President of the United States after winning her second U.S. National.
That was awesome.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. Erica, thank you very much. Do you have any questions to Jack before we let you go? Anything you want to drop on him before we part ways? I thank you, obviously. I can't wait to see you in Gainesville. I can't wait to be at another drag race and finish this season, however it turns out. I really appreciate you supporting WFO Radio the way you have in our podcast. Like, whenever we ask you to come on, you've always been so gracious, and I appreciate that. So, take a final second for a final thought if you've got one.
Sure. I want to thank you for your support of me. And I definitely need to get a couple of those WFO stickers for my race car. I saw the props that you were giving out the other day. So we'll slap those on my Melling Performance Fleet Motorsports Chevy Camaro and hope they bring us some luck. Wow. In Gainesville. So, but anyways, I really appreciate your support of my career. We've been friends for a long time. And, now that you're out there on tour with us, it's pretty awesome. But just to recap the weekend, it was a huge success, and I want to give all of the credit to my team. A couple guys that I didn't mention were Jake Harrison and Kyle Bates, Kendall Long, who work back in the engine shop, and those guys they're my dudes, man. There's no rest for the weary. They work so incredibly hard. They're here at 6 a.m. They don't leave until they have to, and it's a tough life on the road, but my road dog, Chase Freeman, he's been my one-man wrecking crew on my race car. And every single guy from Jake's team and Bob's team, they jumped in on my car and when we needed their help in Indy. So I just want to give them the credit and obviously thank Richard for the opportunity. But it's been an incredible ride. I love that we were able to win Indy. You never know when it's going to be your last. And I'm just ready for what the future holds.
I love it. Team sport, great stuff, great team, great people, and not just drag racers, like good people generally. And that's important also. Erica, thank you so much. Really appreciate you making the time. And congratulations on winning your second U.S. Nationals.
Thank you.
There
Have
she
a
goes.
Good night.
Erica Enders, how about that? And Jack Beckman, you're hanging with me. And I can see the pride, Jack. I can see the pride, like partly... is she your creation? Not necessarily. She's Greg Enders' creation. We saw the movie. The movie was out before you even got to her. But you obviously have a knack for winning big races and championships and to be an instructor at Holly School. And you guys win together. 2015 and 2020 both won together.
Well, I can't wait till Erica retires, because 5 years after that, she's going in the Drag Race Hall of Fame. She's just kind of redefining so many characteristics for drag racers, showing, you know, between her and Angel, you almost hate to say women in drag racing because we've had that for so long, but to show, I have a daughter, to have an example out there that she can look up to see that you can do whatever you want in life and be a champion and be the best at it. So hats off to Erica, that whole team. You know, you guys, a lot of people forget that after Erica won her two championships, there were some lean years when they went into the fuel injection era.
Yep.
And I never heard her mope or complain or cry or show poor character. And look, she's right back in the top of the heap. So well earned and well deserved for her.
To the contrary, if we were to go back to those years where they switched manufacturers and a bunch of situations, like I don't have the stats all in front of me. The stats are kind of limited and it would require time and effort to go through it. And I put a lot of time and effort into this show, Jack. But
Call Lewis.
I love Lewis. But the like her reaction. Reaction times in defeat is a stat that I'd love to know during that period, because if memory serves me right, totally anecdotally, more often than not, Erica was 00 and got driven around because of various circumstances, fuel injection, different manufacturer, yeah. Unfamiliarity to the car. Reaction time when losing is a big thing for me because it's obviously that the driver did their job.
I've got a better stat. When she's had clearly the superior car and has got her opponent covered by 0.05 of a second, look at her reaction times then. She never backs off. That now she'll be the first to tell you she had a couple uncharacteristic lights at Indy. Sometimes you just have to have that lucky round.
Right.
But I think her driving over the years bought her those lucky rounds. I think people, when they go up against her, they know she's never going to be late. She hits her shift points and she's driving a fast car, forces them to try to gamble and make some mistakes.
Simple as that. All right, now let's talk about you. We got a huge audience, thanks to Erica. I really appreciate it.
And not thanks to me. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's more now we're doing this live thing, Jack. It's about the lead-in, yeah. Right? It's about the lead-in. She brought it in. Now you got to keep the audience, though. You got to keep them interested. And I've got to keep them interested.
Juggling.
Yeah, start juggling. Can you do that? I don't think you can.
No,
you can't. You've won Indy now again, but you had to taste defeat in this given weekend before you could drink from the chalice of victory, which is you were battling for the 350th win for Don Schumacher Racing, was on Saturday against Hagen, came up a little bit short, and the team went immediately back to work. But you had a quick and fast car. You were just going up against some of the toughest competition in the pit area, which comes out of Don Schumacher Racing for a historic 350th win. And just thinking back to 2015, how you swept the event, the Traxxas shootout, the event. You had a chance to run two finals in the same weekend. There were a lot of parallels. And just kind of give me your preview to the weekend. Like, how did you feel going into this knowing so much was on the line?
There's always a backstory. And as drivers and as representatives for the sponsors, I think we're sort of obligated to always try the best we can to put a positive spin on something. That's not to say you're being dishonest. It's saying that you're highlighting the good things and playing down the bad things. So we ran Indy 1. We ran Indy 2. Indy 2, we made it to the final. That one got postponed. So we came out for Indy 3 and never made it to the finish line. We were up against the wall. We had to replace two of the six discs in our clutch pack. We had made some preliminary runs with them, but we just were struggling to find our consistency. And if you can't be consistent, you can't be quick. So what happened is Indy 3, we smoked the tires, come up against Hagen first round, and we had to push hard and got out to half track and spun the tires again. So now we come out to the U.S. Nationals on Q1 and spin the tires. So that's four runs in a row. We have not been to the finish line. Now, it was not a cause for panic. It was a cause for concern. So Guido and Medlin backed the car down a little bit. We go out there on Q2 and actually got one bonus point. And it's nice to know that your car softened up a little bit is still good enough to run in the top three. So we go up there in the lanes for the final with Matt, and there's a long cleanup in front of us, and the sun's going down and the track's getting better. Now, listen, I understand. I'm not making excuses. The same thing is happening in the other lane for Hagen and Dickie Venables. The big difference is we're not quite sure what to do with our new clutch pack. So we didn't want to get overly aggressive in the bell housing, and they outran us. They absolutely earned that win. We just couldn't afford to take in the shot of putting our old data in and going out and maybe spinning the tires. So we lost the battle on that one. Well, thank goodness there's a race the next day.
Yeah.
And we wound up qualifying seventh, which isn't stellar, but it's one, you're qualified, and two, you're in the top half. And the car did exactly what we asked it to do first round. We come back to the pits, the computer doesn't work. It's dead. We have zero data. So we look at the spark plugs, we look at the bearings, we look at the ring lands on the pistons, and we tune it that way.
Old
and we
school.
Go against caps, and that's our lucky round.
Wow.
All we could want is four flat. Our clutch wear was way off. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, is that the run that it's going to do next run, and we have to address that? Or was that an anomaly and we just need to ignore it? And what we normally do is split the difference. We go out there for the semifinals, car hauls butt. We set it up for the final, car does exactly what we asked it to do. So it's easy to be gracious in victory. It's easy to tune a car when it's doing everything you ask it to. Guido, Medlin, and our guys had to work around some issues in the pits. We had to change a crank trigger pickup right before the warm-up for the final round.
Wow.
Nobody panicked. Everybody did what needed to be done, and we got a trophy at the end of the day. That to me is a perfect weekend.
Amazing stuff. Amazing victory, and your second U.S. Nationals victory. And of course, Allie from DSR sent us some great photographs. And you're in a situation where you just found out not long ago that the sponsor you've enjoyed for a few years, Doug Chandler, the Giving Car program, is going to wind down, and that this is your final year. So getting a win, another win in, since you won Arizona, of course.
Pomona.
Yeah, it was TJ in Arizona. But having won this year, but wanting to get one in, like knowing you're coming down the stretch, you want to get one in. This was such a big win for you guys. Talk a little bit about this brain trust right here. Dean, a.k.a. Guido, John Medlin, who has given so much to the sport, and Don Schumacher, the 350 wins, but also really people don't know, doing a lot right now to make sure there are cars to race and on the track. And, you know, a lot of people think that Don is this ruthless business guy, and maybe he is, but the side that we see is a little different. He does a lot of positive things that people don't even know about to keep these cars on the track, to keep you on the track, and allow people like yourself to chase their dreams for the best possible reasons, like Infinite Hero.
Yeah, I think Don is a deep guy. And I think he gets a lot of blame for the things that he does that people perceive as being harsh. And I think he hardly gets any of the credit for the stuff he does behind the scenes. He's helped raise $750,000 for Riley Children's Hospital. He makes sure all of his drivers go visit there every year. We do a lot of philanthropic things because Don cares and he wants to make a difference. And it is what it is. I think Don's fine with his image. I think he's okay with the fact that he is as competitive as a human being as I've ever met in my life. And there's no excuses with Don. And I appreciate that. If you're going to be a hired driver, Joe, if you wrote me a check for $3 million today and said, here's for you to drive a funny car next year, and I'm not saying this to sound hyperbolic, I would take it and do exactly what I'm doing this year. I would drive a Don Schumacher car with Medlin and Guido tuning it and these same seven mechanics on the car. It's kind of like relatives. There's always dysfunction in the way everybody interacts with each other. And I love our dysfunction. We work well together. We understand the bigger picture. This Infinite Hero program for 6 years, not only have we won a lot of races, we've changed a lot of lives. We've raised a lot of money for the injured vets. I've been in a room with 8 Medal of Honor recipients. It's changed my life. What Terry Chandler did is, I don't know that it's unprecedented. It's
unprecedented.
Just amazing. And then for her husband, Doug, after Terry passed away, Doug's not a hardcore drag racer. Terry lived and breathed for drag racing. Doug wanted to continue the program for 3 years in Terry's honor to continue her legacy. So this was the last year of that. And I understood that. And I'm fine with that. And I'm forever grateful to Doug and obviously to Terry. They both of them just literally changed not just my life, but 20 of us who have kept our jobs all this time. And all good things end, and I'm still looking for sponsorship. And if this is the last year that I drive, Wow, I've won Pomona, I've won Indy, and we got five more shots at a trophy. And even if I'm not back next year, I'm going to still continue to hunt for sponsorship. I still enjoy this. I still feel like I can do this well, and I still love the sport.
All right, so all the listeners out there, we're going to have to sell a lot of these WFO Radio face coverings for $10 at WFOradio.com if I'm going to cut a $3 million check to Fast Jack next year to race in the WFO Radio podcast car. So go to the website, and you know, you can become a Patreon as well. But you're addressing it like it's a real possibility you might not race next year. And I actually appreciate that because that's my attitude too. I was just telling everybody yesterday, like every event I go to, I kind of feel like there's a chance this could be the last one I get to go to other than, you know, paying as a spectator. And so I savor it. And it sounds like you're doing that too. You're savoring these moments.
Yeah, I'm trying to be pragmatic. I've been trying since March to follow up on a lot of leads for potential sponsorship. It's not easy to find somebody that'll write a check for $3 million. I think our sport has a lot to offer, but marketing is not an easy thing. And with COVID, we don't have the opportunity to invite potential sponsors out and let them see what they could reap for benefits from the NHRA. You know, even Indy, there was only 5,000 people there. It just, you truly don't get the depth of the flavor of what our sport's capable of conveying. Also, we don't know for certain what the 2021 schedule is going to look like. So how do you go to prospective sponsor and lay out the exposure that they can expect to get next year when nothing's for certain? So I'm certainly not saying this to be dramatic. I think it's a pragmatic statement to say it's likely. Now, listen, something can come up. You know, Don's sure. Still looking for stuff. You'd never know. This is not a feel sorry for me moment. In case you haven't seen all this stuff behind me, there's a bookcase full of this. I never would have had any of this if it wasn't for Don Schumacher. I wouldn't have had half of this if it wasn't for the Chandlers. Roger and Karen Comstock yes. Support me all the years. I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. I'm not whining about this. If this is all I get to do, I got a whole lot of trophies and got to chase my dream for a long, 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 long time. And I can still go back and fix elevators and pay my mortgage and take care of my wife and kids.
Yeah, nobody feels sorry for you, but we feel sorry for us if you're not out there. And that's the thing about our sport. It's just a little bit of a challenge because there are a lot of talented race car drivers that, you know, securing funding. That's the challenge. Secure the funding and be successful. All right, let's talk about the final round. You went through Cruz and Caps and Wilk, and that Wilk run was just insanity because it was so close. Maybe a comment on that. And then setting up against JR, who's got a nose for the final round at Indy. JR knows how to win Indy. This guy is really good. Obviously, he's got the job done a couple of times and was en route to a third. And you double bulbed. Now, I felt like Jack's not going to double bulb on purpose. Why don't you tell us what happened?
That's a lot to digest. Let's go back to the semis with Wilk. So here's my thought on Tim Wilkerson. He's my wife's favorite funny car driver. I'm pretty sure he's mine, too. So I tell Tim, I said, listen, if I'm not in the other lane, I'm usually rooting for you. I said, the problem is sometimes when I'm in the other lane, I think I might be rooting for you. And Tim's had a mean car lately. And yes. For a guy that owns the car, finds the sponsorship, tunes the car, and wears so many hats there, it's amazing what he does. And then JR, that DHL team, that's Todd Smith. That was my crew chief the year I won the championship in 2012. And that car's good everywhere, but for whatever reason, when that thing gets in the gates at Indy, they just seem to take it to a new level. It's a good thing I'm not superstitious, otherwise we wouldn't have had a chance against that car. They were on their game all day long. And no, I did not mean to double ball. That was a mistake. That being said, even if I did it on purpose, it's not illegal and it's not immoral. And let me clarify that. When the first car is fully staged, the second car has to stage within 7 seconds or the timeout feature on the CompuLink will red light and disqualify that car. And there had to be a reasonable time period there. We got the clutch out, it's building heat, they're burning fuel. So in essence, if you hung somebody out on the starting line for 6.5 seconds, that is not illegal, but that's kind of a D-bag move.
Yeah.
Just not a cool thing to do in a nitro car. Double bulbing is entirely different. I would argue, maybe not in pro stock because of the starting line procedures, but in a nitro race, whomever double bulbs had put themselves at a potential disadvantage because they've just handed the tempo to the car in the other lane that hasn't even pre-staged yet. So now I didn't do it on purpose. And when I did it, I went, oh, okay, get your composure together. You got this. And I just got my focus back.
That is great. And yeah, like starting line games used to be like a bigger part of the sport. Now that everything is so down to the second with fuel burn and whatnot. But in the end, it's the final round and you can do whatever you want to do to get the job done. And if it backfires, then you look a little silly, but it didn't. And you won the race 3.908. And let's look at some of the photos. And there's some interesting things about this particular win. First of all, look at your guys. We got to compare the jump photograph of the Elite Motorsports squad. Like, look at your guys. Look at Guido, Jack. He does like, he's playing it cool, man. No jump, fist pump, just like, yeah.
In the background, Bob Peck's 6'6 when he's on the ground. It looks like he's about to hit his head on the underside of the Dodge Bridge there.
Yeah, he is a tall boy. He's very, like, look at this dude. He's up there. But Guido just like, yes, victory. Victory. And then here's Team Elite. They're fired up as well. Let's talk about this photograph. Winner's circle.
There's not really a winner's circle, right? We did this back in our pits and whatever.
The winner's circle is done in the pits now. That's the photo. It's just because of COVID. #2020 stinks.
It's not the same without the fans. That being said, we're doing everything that we can do to continue to have drag races. And the great thing about that photo is the guy holding the trophy, Don Schumacher, 50 years ago, almost to the day, was holding a trophy for his funny car with him driving it. That's cool. Now, I would have loved to have been in his winner's circle. I would have been 4 years old at the time. But how cool is that? 50 years later, that guy gets win number 351.
Well, amazing. And I was having a conversation with someone about, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about Don Schumacher's 200th. Victory as a team owner, and they're just coming on in the dominance of the DSR funny cars. Force is not there, sure, but this is about who's here, not who's not here, and it's pretty incredible what's going on over there. All right, and you sent me this photograph. This is kind of a milestone as well. Explain.
That's another 50-year photograph that was taken in my pits in 2017, and Doug Thorley is sitting in there, and Doug Thorley won the first Indy funny car eliminator race. Now, if you don't have 5 minutes to explain that, but he won driving a Corvair, and 50 years later, I got him, all the nostalgia stuff was on the other side of the racetrack. I got him to come over to my pits. He was 88 at that time. Car was up on jack stands, climbed in it, climbed out of it, and had the thing that I love the most about that is that he enjoyed doing that.
Oh, man. Well, and what sport? Baseball does a great job. What sport pays as much tribute to the history and the heroes of the past than NHRA drag racing? I can't think of too many. And yes, as times get tougher and they get older, it's harder to get out there and hard to climb into a race car. And it's hot out, obviously. You're not in an air-conditioned, beautiful stadium or suite. So whenever you can do that, that is amazing.
So another gentleman that came over to my pits during the weekend, Ohio George Montgomery.
Wow.
Before the Nationals was called the Nationals, heck, before the Nationals even moved to Indy, that guy had already won it twice. He won it in 59 in Detroit, and I think he won 5 U.S. Nationals trophies. And guys, not only in the Drag Racing Hall of Fame, earlier this year he was going to be inducted in the International Motorsport Hall of Fame, and then that deal's got delayed till next year. But I love the fact that some of these people that are just larger than life, folks I read about when I was a kid growing up and admired the sport, and I can call them on the phone today. It's a lot of pinch me moments for me, Joe.
It's like me being able to call Jack Beckman and do like streaming
20 times that cool.
Yeah, to you, but to me and the next generation, you got to understand that you guys are playing that role for us. You're the star drivers. You're out there battling for championships. You're putting up the fight. You're carrying the sport. You're 35 points ahead of Matt Hagan and 57 ahead of Tommy Johnson, 130 ahead of JR, who is fourth. I don't want to count out JR just yet, but I really think, just like I told Erica, it's going to be hard in 5 races to leapfrog 3 of the best cars we've seen all year. Like, clearly the three best cars of the year. So the Gator Nationals is next. You got a 35-point lead. You know, where's your head at on winning another championship?
Well, I tell you the way I would interpret looking at points. A round's worth 20 points. If you're in first place, you want to be 81 points ahead of the next person. So you can't lose your lead if you lost first round and they won the race. If you're in second place, you want to be within 20 points of the person, so one round puts you ahead. We had kind of the perfect storm in the right way for us and the wrong way for our sister car, the Riley Children's car with Tommy Johnson, where even though they qualified number one, they had a mechanical malfunction first round and still barely lost the race. But we gained 80 points on them. And I don't foresee that ever happening again for the next five races. And then if you look at the other cars that are contention, you've got Hagen, who's just that team's been on a roll again, and they're always cause for concern. JR's right back in the points hunt, and Caps in fifth is still very much in. In fact, I would say the top six cars right now have a legitimate chance. The issue is if you're in sixth, you've got to have one of those 80-point swings to get right back in it.
Right, but are you going to do that on multiple cars? Yeah, listen, I want more cars to be involved. Caps, 141 out. Yeah, they'd have to go get some work done. And this is something that I'm not exactly sure of, the points and a half stuff, right?
I was going to ask if you knew. So I thought that they were intending, when we were at schedule 2.0 back in May, to make the finals at Pomona points and a half, but not do Indy because there wasn't going to be a countdown. Well, now that the finals appears it's going to be in Vegas, I haven't read anything that says they intend to do anything other than straight points. Now, listen, I'd tell you this if I was in eighth place, and I've been consistent about this throughout the years. You can go back, doesn't matter where I'm in the points. I've never been a huge fan of the countdown, but I understand why we do it. I've never been a fan of making one race worth more points than another race. It's about round wins and accruing those points. I don't know what that's going to do, but I did the math in my head, and I've calculated that if the Infinite Hero Dodge team wins the next five races, we should be champs.
You've got it. Wow. The new math. How it works. Amazing. Jack, great stuff. Congratulations. All right. Some people do have questions, though, and you've opened yourself on the Facebook here on WFO Radio's Facebook page, and hopefully everyone will like our show and subscribe and never miss one. But like Steve wants to know, like, will you go back bracket racing? Like racing, you started off in Supercomp. You won world championship in Supercomp. Your car is in the Wally Parks Museum. How you drove out of that thing, I have no idea, but that's a different story for another day. The sports and racers want to know, is there still a sports and racer in Jack Beckman, and is that something you will do?
Sure. I sold the trailer for the Blackbird. It would take too many updates to make that car raceable again, so I wouldn't race that. But I've got my El Camino. I've taken it to Fontana one time. Absolutely, I'll go up there a couple times and race. And a lot of times the phone will ring. My buddy Dick Vandermeer up in Idaho gave me a chance over the last few years to get in his car for the Firebird race up there, and that was a lot of fun. Look, I'm still a bracket racer. I'm just lucky enough to get to strap into a nitro car. And I don't think anybody ever really gets rid of that addiction. Mark my words, I might not be at as many races if I'm not getting paid to be there, but I'll still be at the races. I'm still a fan.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is great. Will you ever race CIFCA again?
Oh, California Independent Funny Car Association. Loved it. Loved it. Drove Dennis Murphy's Ground Zero car, and we proved that even at a 750 index, we were perfectly capable of blowing up parks like the Nitro guys. I loved it. It was a sportsman organization. We raced in Nevada and Arizona and California and Colorado, and it was just a hoot. It was a budget funny car tour with a lot of great people, and I stay in touch with some of them to this day. I don't see me racing that again because I am not going to build up the trailer, the tow vehicle, the car, and all that stuff. Would I hop in somebody else's funny car? You bet your butt I would.
Yeah, and you're certainly qualified, and they should be happy to have you do it. Jack, congratulations. Your second U.S. Nationals victory, and you're the points leader, and I'm so happy to have drag racing to talk about, Jack. This has been great. I really appreciate it. And congratulations, a huge victory, and you've got a great team, and I know they're hungry. Like, you can see it, that Dean Antonelli and John Medlin, the way they're kind of making the calls, you can see that this team thinks that they can win a championship, and they're trying to get it done. So congratulations.
Well, yeah, I'm just so, I don't want to say proud because I don't want to sound like I'm patronizing them. I am so impressed with my team that even though we weren't doing as good as we should have been doing. And even though we had a couple curveballs thrown at us, they figured out how to get through with that, and they got us the biggest trophy of the year. And I don't think we're done earning them this year, Joe.
I agree. You guys are going to keep on keeping on. Gator Nationals is next. All kinds of news going on in the NHRA, and we'll just have to keep it up and see what's going on. Jack, thank you very much. Congratulations on winning the Denso Spark Plugs NHRA U.S. Nationals. You and Erica.
Appreciate you for our support, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Jack. All right, there he goes. Fast Jack Beckman, everybody. Way to go, Jack. How about that? How about that? Erica and Jack Beckman, they won the big go, and we're going to keep on having winners here on WFO Radio. So like our Facebook page, and we stream to the group, we stream to Twitter, we stream to our Facebook page, and of course YouTube, WFO Radio's YouTube channel, which is WFO Radio TV. And pretty amazing stuff. Get your final comments in the comments section. I want to hear what you guys have to say about Erica, about Jack, and about the race. I saw Susan Polachek on there a little bit earlier. We're going to have Scotty Polachek on. We got to have Scotty Polachek on. I just connected with Steve Yantis, who won the Dodge Hemi Shootout. He's going to be on. We're going to try to connect with as many winners as possible between now and the Gator Nationals, whose Nitro E1 is at 11 a.m. And I'm very excited about the Gator Nationals, honestly, the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. Look at Courtney out there. Great show, Joe. Thank you. No, great job by you, Courtney, who just is having the best week of maybe her life, like big milestone at home. Her sister wins Indy again. They're like hanging out with the president of the United States. Pretty amazing stuff, right? And I've got a friend that's happening to, which is good for me. But get your comments in the comments section while I tell you about a couple of things. Like, for instance, these WFO Radio face coverings, right? Nobody likes wearing them. But if you're going to wear a face covering because you need to and it's the right thing to do, you might as well promote WFO Radio. And I'm selling them for just $10 at the website. Go to WFOradio.com and I'll throw in some of these WFO Radio stickers as well. But maybe you don't want the face covering. Maybe I get it. I understand. But maybe you want some stickers for free. You just got to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on your screen, Castello Media/WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And you send me an envelope that's got it filled out to your address so I don't have any busy work. That's what it's about. It's about the busy work. And I'll throw some stickers in there and send it back out, and then you'll be rocking WFO Radio stickers. We did a special show, and we do special shows for Patreons. Patreon's a great website that allows us to offer bonus content for people that want to pay. Yeah, pay. And why do they do it? I don't know. I really don't know, but it helps us keep the show going in addition to our sponsor model. So if you want to go to patreon.com/WFO radio, you can hear VIP content like me predicting prior to the race that Scotty Polachek would have great success and win the race. Why did I do that just for the Patreons? Well, they paid. Simple as that. I'm going to make big, bold predictions and tell them all the behind the scenes gossip and stuff that is, would get me fired on the regular show because they pay. Again, face coverings, $10. Here are the sponsors, though, like Marvin Rodak, Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. I'm enjoying a little Rodak's coffee during the show. It's roasted fresh per your order. They're located in Fort Worth, Texas, and they're drag racers, and they have drag racing themed blends. 817-924-6821, like extremely caffeinated blends called Bang the Blower because, it's like an explosion. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. You younger people who are looking to get into racing and be a crew chief or an engine builder or a motorsport, EFI tuner. How do you do that? Samtech is a great place to start. We were doing a podcast earlier this week for Total Seal, the Total Seal Hidden Horsepower podcast. And at the very end of every episode, this is with the world's elite engine builders. So we're talking to Kenny Duttweiler, who built the engine and the Speed Demon that just set the piston car record at Bonneville. And at the end, I'm talking to Kenny, and I'm like, Kenny, could give some advice to up-and-coming engine builders who want to get started, want to follow in your footsteps, younger people who want to keep this thing going. And he says, yeah, go to Samtech. And so, what better advice can you get than that? And speaking of Total Seal piston rings, if you're building engines currently, you should be using Total Seal piston rings, the leader in ring seal technology, TotalSeal.com, Hartford, runner-up to Erica. And so there's one of those final rounds where you're watching and you're going, well, WFO is going to be a win-win no matter what. Erica or Matt. Great teams, great people, friends of the show, clearly. And it was just one of those. Total Seal piston rings in both cars. And Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, what better commercial could I do than what you just heard from Erica and Fast Jack Beckman? But I can tell you this. If you do not want to be a professional drag racer, they've got something called the Dragster Adventure. And I'm going to show you what it is. You and your friends go. You spend about like $3.99, and you get to drive a dragster for the day with Frank Hawley. And it looks a little something like this. So think about your sales team or your best clients, your best people, and how are you going to keep them happy? They can even set up a race that's a little bit extra, but then you can have a full eliminations. Pretty amazing stuff. And, of course, Nitro Fish. You see this shirt that I'm wearing right now, the Lagana Strong t-shirt? You can get it at nitrofishracing.com. And the folks at Nitro Fish, Randy Lynn and Bo, have been great to us. And I wanted to wear my Lagana Strong shirt today in honor of Dominic. Obviously, we put the Nitro Ninja up in the right-hand corner of our screen. And I guess it's the left-hand corner for you guys. And, you know, buying the shirt is going to go directly to them. And it's going to be helpful. And you can fly your colors like so many of us were this past weekend. Me under my NHRA uniform. And just to see Bobby and see Mama Kay and Billy and that team, it was amazing. The outpouring of love for Dominic Lagana and Lagana Strong. And there you have it. All right. You guys have done a great job putting your comments in the comments section. Yesterday, we spoke with Sean Langdon and the Emmons brothers. That, if you're on the site or if you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can go find that right now. Let's see, Brenwald, Steve Brenwald, EE wants to put WFO stickers on her car. Yeah, I know. How cool is that? They're good luck. I mean, I'm not telling you they're good luck. There's pretty strong evidence out there. Like, for instance, the day that Bo wore the WFO shirt for the first time, he won the race. He was undefeated while wearing the WFO radio shirt for like 4 weekends in a row. Hartford puts WFO stickers on his car. He goes out and wins the race. Emmons Brothers, Jerry's got it on the car, wins the race. We've got a lot of that. We got a lot of winning of races when you put a WFO radio sticker. Later, Joe Morrison says, come to the Leverage Pit for the double whack in Gainesville. Bring WFO radio stickers. I will, Joe. Thank you very much. Joe, you were missed out there. Leverage Racing was out there, but Joe Morrison was not out there. He was doing something else, and we appreciate it. Like, you know what? If you're a first-time viewer of WFO radio and you realize, like, man, this is we've got celebrity viewers out there. We got Joe. We got Erica yesterday. Jerry Emmons. Susie Polachek. Love it. Let's see. This unknown viewer says, Joe, we are all watching because of what you have built. You are the captain of your ship and doing a great job. It's always good to hear from you, to hear from the winners, too. And I guess there's more to it. Wow. That is such a heartfelt and wonderful comment. It's too bad that I do not know who has made that statement. So I'm going to just make it up. Thank you, Snake. I appreciate it. That is wonderful. No, I don't know who it is. When you watch in the Facebook group, you've got to sign in on StreamYard, which is the program we use to do all this. And I absolutely love it. But that's the one downside is sometimes when you sign in from the group, you're just a user. Been doing this for over 10 years now, folks. I started out in Miami in 1999 doing sports talk radio and then went to XM Satellite Radio where I worked on NASCAR radio. And then NASCAR Radio left XM when the two companies were separate. And the executives at XM were freaking out. Like, what are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, it's over. Game over, man. Like Bill Paxton and Aliens. They didn't know what to do. And I said, we can talk drag racing. And they were like, drag racing? And that became WFO roundabout. And then the two companies merged together, Sirius XM, and all the XM people were fired in a merciless way. And that's when I started this. And I've been doing this as a podcast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, SoundCloud. You can subscribe so you can take the show on the road and listen for those of you who actually have to pay attention to what you're doing at work. And we have the winners on. We have winner views. You hear the winners on WFO radio. What else? Jeff, two great down-to-earth conversations. So true. So true. Something I say on a regular basis. Great show today. Always fun. You know, happy hour. Friday, happy hour. I don't know, guys. I'm thinking about taking Friday off. I'm thinking about taking happy hour off, as in, I don't know. Jason Logan says he can't do it. He's got some appointment on a big yacht. somewhere in Fort Lauderdale. He's going to be like hobnobbing on a big yacht. And so I don't know if it's possible. I'd have to have people reach out to me and compel me to do it. We've had a really great show. Let's see. Emmons brothers both win with WFO stickers on the car. Hey, twice now I've seen in-car camera of Erica Enders racing and noticed the safety pin is still in safety mode when she's on the track. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think that that's true. I think that that is inaccurate because I know that Erica is super concerned after her Pro Mod fire last year. I guarantee that's inaccurate. One day I hope to be successful enough in racing to be on the Happy Hour show. You don't have to be successful in racing, Joe. You just have to like to drink. Think of all the people we have on the Happy Hour show. Like, I'm not successful in racing. Scott Hamilton, do you think you can top last week's Happy Hour? The one with Justin Ashley and TJ Zizzo when Zizzo said balloon knot? No. Simple as that. Not going to happen. More people. Listen, I've had Gary Selzy and Chad Head and Angel on the Happy Hour show. This is all on YouTube, folks. You can go find it. I had Ron Tobler and Caps and everybody on the Happy Hour show. Zizzo, what is this? But last week's Happy Hour show with Amanda, Jason, Courtney, Justin Ashley, and TJ Zizzo was by far the most appreciated by most people. Now, Facebook, because Facebook can throttle us, slowed it down. So not everybody saw it, but it's on our page. If you want to see it, go find it. We didn't get a huge live audience. It didn't get a huge audience after the fact for reasons that I don't know. It has to do with Facebook and the internet. But in the anecdotal people yelling at me at the pits, like, that was the funniest show you've done. We had a great time. It was super fun. I had more people come up and say that than ever before. And you can check it out on YouTube, youtube.com, obviously, /WFO Radio TV. Subscribe and click the bell. Get yourself a WFO Radio t-shirt at nitrofishracing.com. I know I'm hawking all kinds of stuff, but that's what I do. The whole reason to have guests is just so I can hawk stuff. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, write us a review. And me, I'm WFO Joe. And let's see. All right, these are literally now the final comments. And then we're moving on. You can hear the music playing. Final comments. Let's see. What's funny is I didn't play the intro today. Today started off kind of crazy. It was a little incorrect. But it's all right. All right, there we got it. Final comments. I want to thank all you. I want to thank Erica. I want to thank Courtney. I want to thank Jack. I want to thank Allie from DSR for sharing these amazing photographs that we put up on the screen of our favorite race car drivers and the moments where they... Look at this. Look at that. Nightwing, baby. And Jack. Strapped in, ready to go. What are these guys and girls thinking? And moments later, the team celebrates, and he becomes an Indy winner again. Another great show. It's Joey Rocket. What's up, Joe? And Erica, do you think I would miss out on something like that after my Norwalk fire? Exactly, E. So to the gentleman said the safety pin, etc. and so on. Absolutely not. After the Norwalk fire, come on now. Come on now. Like, I understand watching and looking for stuff, but there's just no way that that's going to happen. And sometimes, and this is, I'll end off on a little public service announcement. Give the benefit of the doubt. When you think something, definitely okay to bring it up, but give the benefit of the doubt because chances are it's not what you think. All right. And we've had another great show. I really appreciate all of you. Like the page, be on board. And maybe we'll do a happy hour. And that is all. Really appreciate all you guys. Thank you so much for joining us on WFO Radio. And thanks to our sponsors. We'll see you next time. WFO.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, everybody. How do you start your day? You started off with a little coffee. And do you want something cheap and vacuum-packed with garbage? Do you want to pay for a retail coffee? It's like $11. Or do you want something that is good, like Rodax Coffee and Grills.com? Join the Rodax Army. WFO users and listeners know all about it. Over 40 grades to choose from. This is roasted fresh for your order, not to mention hot sauce, spice rub. You got to call Marvin, get on the phone line, or go to the website, RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com. Check it out. That's RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com. Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology. And they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America. Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.